This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with Evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, Evangelist Adam Borden.
Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And I'm not going to teach tonight, or I'm not going to preach tonight on the forgiveness of the father. I'm not going to preach on the bitterness of the brother who stayed back. I'm not going to even preach that much on the prodigal son, as it were. But I want to show you something that I believe will help us tonight, beginning in verse number 11. As it pertains to us in the 21st century, as residents of the United States of America, under the banner of Christianity, begin reading in verse number 11 in chapter number 15 of the book of Luke tonight. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And he said, that's Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me, underline that in your Bible if you tend to mark in your Bible, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now let me clarify something there. He had two sons, as we know this story. And so he divided the inheritance equally to those two sons simultaneously. Keep reading. Verse number 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Underline, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. 19, verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me, underline those two words, make me as one of thy hired servants. The story of the prodigal son is very familiar, but tonight I want to draw your attention to two different phrases, first in verse number 12 and then in verse number 19. I was in camp meeting service recently up in West Virginia, and there's a pastor out of Burlington, North Carolina, Brother Randy Hobbs, and he pastors the New Hope Baptist Church in Burlington, and his church was the host of something that you might have heard of over the last 2 years, the Burlington Revivals, in a very short and powerful message. He drew a distinction. It was not his message, but merely a passage thought, in that the prodigal son had two aspects of his attitude in this parable that we might have missed. And in verse number 12, I asked you to underline a phrase. It said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And in verse number 19, after he has spent all, after he has gotten everything that he thought he wanted, after that he has gone into the far country to live a riotous life and to waste all of that living that his father had stored up for him as his son for an inheritance, he came to a place in his life where no one would give anything unto him, and he had nothing left. And he came to a point in his attitude, and he came to a point of humbleness where he said, I'll go to my father, and I'll make this statement with all of my heart, make me as one of thy servants. Ask yourself a question, as I ask myself a question every time that I read through this, and every time I bow myself in prayer and I try to ask God to examine me, am I a give me Christian, or am I a make me Christian? Am I a give me Christian, or am I a make me Christian? Now, we notice some things about this prodigal son and his request. This was not something that was necessarily unrightfully his. I want you to see tonight that in verse number 12, he said, this is the portion of goods that falleth unto me. Now, what he was asking for, Brother Hollis, was his inheritance before his father passed away. He broke protocol. He absolutely broke every rule of decorum. He messed up family values. He messed up the order of things as we still know it to this day. An inheritance is not given until someone passes away. But he asked for his inheritance that was reserved until after the death of his father. He was in a rush to get everything that he thought that he had coming unto him. He showed a rebellious spirit by asking his father such a request. I want you to see tonight, he showed no regard for his father and all that he had done to build up this living that he had up to this point. He showed no respect unto the man who had fed him, clothed him, raised him, taught him everything he knew, and given him everything that he needed. He said basically unto his father, he said, "Daddy, I wish you were dead and I had all the stuff." He said, "Give me what is rightfully mine." He was selfish. He was ungrateful. He was unthankful. He was prideful. He wanted his rights. He wanted what he was entitled to. What does that remind to you tonight? This entitlement society that we live in, where everybody thinks that they're owed something, where everybody thinks they ought to get something for free, where everybody thinks they ought to get everything and somebody else pay for it, amen? And this prodigal son could have been marching down at Wall Street and occupying Wall Street. He could have been out there in some sort of protest right now saying, "Give me free education. Give me free money. Give me free retirement. Pay for everything that I've got. I want what's rightfully mine." But what did the Bible tell us? Over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the last days, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Let me say that one again. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And notice this, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And this epitomizes the attitude and the action of this prodigal son in every single way. He was, as the Bible would tell us, wise in his own conceits. He was conceited. But this prodigal son could have very well fit in with our millennials. But I want you to know that this message is not reserved for the millennial. It's not reserved for the teenager. This message is not reserved for the young, unwise, foolish young person. Not that all young people are foolish. But this young man had the "give me" attitude. Now, the last phrase in that verse, the group of verses that I just quoted to you, when it says that men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying thereof. Notice these last few words of that phrase. From such, turn away. Parents and grandparents, you ought to be intimately involved in every person that your child calls friend. Amen? They ought not have a friend that you don't know their first and last name, where they live, and who their parents are. You ought to know if they go to church or not. You ought to know what kind of influence they are having on your child and your grandchild. One of the biggest fallacies, I had a message this week that I considered in the path of things, but it didn't come, the Lord has not laid it on my heart. But I preach a message called "The Biggest Lies That Have Ever Been Told." One of the biggest lies that's ever been told is, "Oh, you gotta let them make all their own mistakes." No, you don't. What a foolish statement. There's enough bad examples of the consequences of bad decisions that you can point to and say, "This is how they started. This was their bad decision. This is how they ended up. Don't do that." But somehow or another, this son, he came into this idea that his father owed him something before it was time. Now notice again, it wasn't something that he wasn't going to get eventually. He was impatient. He was in a rush. And the Bible tells us so much about these things. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." The Bible says, from such, turn away. I believe this prodigal's father had enough wisdom that he knew that there was no way he was going to turn his son's mind. And what he did was he said, son, here it is. Go. Go. That boy was a give me person. Give me person. And I don't think this was a trained and learned experience. This is in us, in our sinful flesh. How can we prove that? Every little baby has got their own version of give me. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Mine, 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 mine. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Every little baby's got their own little way of saying, I want it, I want it, I want it. Give it, give it, give it, give it, give it, give it, give it. It's in this sinful flesh. This flesh wants what it wants, how it wants it, how much it wants it, when it wants it. And if we do not put the flesh under subjection and buffet the flesh and say, no, you can't have three waffles. We have to put our flesh under submission. But this boy had no sense of submission in his life. I want to move quickly. I want us to see a give me person in pride. But we can also be a give me Christian in prayer. Over in James chapter 4, verse 3, he gave us instructions that said, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. How often is our prayer life in its immature state? Let's just put it this way. Maybe we don't know any different. Maybe we're just hearing what other people pray. Maybe we've not been taught a mature prayer life. Maybe we have not developed. But we can all agree, I believe, that there's a certain point in our life where everything is about God giving us something in our prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this good day. Now, Lord, give us a good day, Lord. Give us a good win out here on the football field. Give us our daily bread. Give us this. Give me a truck, Lord. Give me a job. Give me a wife. Give me a husband. Give me a healthy child. Give me health in my long days. Give me this. Give me that, Lord. Give me this, and I'll check back with you later when you got that done. And we're gone. Give me my stuff, Lord. Give me my health back. Give me my finances back. Bless me with all this stuff. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Amen. Gone. Am I preaching? Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I wonder what the Lord thinks. I guarantee what he thinks. He thinks the same thing you do when your kids don't do nothing but come with their hand out. Same thing. All you do is want something. We, in our prayer life, we can tend to be give me children of God. But we forget, though, that 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, but godliness with contentment is great what? Gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The Americanized ESV version of that, I believe, says, God, give me great gain and I'll be content. If you give me my stuff, Lord, I'll be happy. Lord, if you'll just let me have that job, then I'll be happy. Lord, if you'll just let me have that girlfriend or that boyfriend or that wife or that husband, then I'll be happy. Lord, if you'll just let me have that car, then I'll be happy. Lord, if you'll just let me have that 12-gauge, then I'll be happy. Lord, if you'll just give me 7 weeks of vacation a year, then I'll be happy. Lord, if you'll just let me get into six-figure income, then I'd be happy. No, you won't. You know why? Because when you get six figures, you'll want seven figures. Because the flesh is never satisfied. And if your joy and your complete happiness is wrapped up in another person, that's going to run out. This prodigal son, he was a selfish child. He did not understand the contentment there is in godliness. Because if we're content in God, then all those other things just kind of fade in importance. But this prodigal son in verse number 19, he came to himself. Look at verse number 17 through 19. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. I want to talk to you in these last little few minutes about being a make me Christian. We're talking about being created. We're talking about being molded. We're talking about being formed. We're talking about being conformed. We're talking about being made in the image of Christ. Make me as one of thy servants. It's no accident that he said, as one of thy servants. He didn't say, make me as your son again. He didn't say, make me as it was before I left. He said, make me as one of thy servants.
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com. spelled B-O-R-D-E-N, and click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with evangelist Adam Borden.